This is episode number 18. There's always room for more simplicity.
Welcome to the Innovateology podcast, where it is all about unleashing the creative side to find those brilliant, disruptive ideas to validate and build innovative solutions to solve life's problems.
Hello, and welcome back to another episode of Innovateology. So this week, we're going to be talking about a book by Richard Rohr named Simplicity. And this goes along with that theme of finding that inner energy that we all have. And what is our body really telling us to do? What do I really want? What do I want out of life? What's going to make me happy and enjoy life more? And so Linda's going to share a little bit more about some of the themes that we see in simplicity, such as the freedom of letting go. And how do we do that? And some exercises that go with it around this idea of simplicity. And in today's busy world, I think we have a lot going on in our head. And I know when I wake up every morning, I probably have about 100 thoughts running through my brain, almost like a freight train, where I can't always let go. I can't always just sit there, take a deep breath, and just enjoy the moment, because I've always got to think about, okay, I got to get the kids out the door. I got to get ready for work. I've got to rush to the car. I've got to do all these things. And so I think this is a very important message of the freedom of letting go. Do we really need to do what we need to do? Where do we let some of it go? Where do we really follow our energy? So with that, I'm going to turn it over to Linda. And we also have Melissa on the line as well, too. And we're just going to dive deep into this theme of simplicity.
Sounds good, Mary. Thanks. So I've read several books by Richard Rohr, and he also has many videos on YouTube. He's actually a Franciscan priest by his training, and he is someone who's well-versed in world religions and world cultures. And even though his books tend to be kind of skinny, they pack a lot into them. So what I decided for today's discussion around his book, Simplicity, was to just call out a couple of his key messages. And one of them is what Mary alluded to, this freedom of letting go. And Rohr is very upfront to say the concept of letting go is nothing new. It's actually a concept that all of the world's religious traditions teach us and call us to do. And that's because ultimately, when we let go, it's very freeing and also eye-opening. And Rohr talks a lot about how the process of letting go really is about letting go of attachments, and that a lot of times, particularly in Western cultures, we are attached to many, many things. And he says it's useful to have a regular moment of reflection about our attachments and to actually identify them and bring our awareness to them, because sometimes we kind of go through our days not even aware of the weight that attachments can bring to our lives. And sometimes our attachments, which can include, you know, grievances we have from the past, things that have brought hurt to our lives, you know, belongings we have, our attachments to how we look, all sorts of things that can sometimes seem to take on a life of their own. And so Rohr's point is, by becoming conscious of these attachments, we actually can then begin to let go of some of these, or at least some of the constrictions we have with our attachments. And so again, he calls for this daily reflection so that we have an opportunity to let go, recalibrate, and then have this better balance and greater energy in the lives that we lead. He actually presents an interesting exercise that I'm going to share with all of you and ask Mary and Melissa to participate in. He says to take 6 minutes. We won't take 6 minutes here, but he asks to imagine a stream and that you're seated on the bank near the stream. And as you're looking at the stream and watching it flow, there's boats and ships that are sailing by. And Melissa Mary, what he's going to ask all of us to do with this exercise is then to start giving words, descriptive words to the boats that go by that are descriptors of, perhaps adjectives related to you and your life. But instead of kind of stopping the boats, as you give them these descriptors, just keep them going and name them without giving any judgment. So as an example, because I've done this exercise before, as I let, my boat fear go down the path or anxiety or frustration, what Rohr says is to be non-judging with those. So Mary and Melissa, can you imagine this stream and see your boats going by?
Yeah, it's Melissa. I saw two sets of boats actually. So one is, I have an elderly parent who's extremely frail and, having a lot of illnesses, and probably what I wake up in the middle of the night is, what's the next thing I can do to fix them or save them or, you know what I mean? And mm-hmm. I think not, that if he is near death, what can I do to help him through it? And, so it does cause me a lot of anxiety and fear, which I would see those boats going down, along with the fact that, which I think is normal, but I can't fix everything. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And I can't have anxiety about fixing everything. So maybe that's the boat that's going down the stream, mm-hmm. To help me release that attachment. I got to let go of that so that, life flows as it does. And that's the way it is, And I think the second thing is more pragmatic, but like, trying to downsize my house. So I'm shocked at all the attachments I have of my things. So like, how do I, watch those go down and say, I really don't, just because I had this for so long, I really don't need it. You know what I mean? Or, it's not necessary, or I can let go of it. So I would actually see furniture going down the stream, but that's mine too.
Yeah, and nothing actually helps you become aware of the complexity in your life like cleaning out a house, because I'm in the process of cleaning out a house also. Actually, two houses, mine.
Yeah, you're moving, right?
Yeah. And you really do appreciate a lot of our attachments that are much deeper than you realize. To that point. So Mary, how about you?
So this is an interesting week. So I think some of the boats that I see floating down is one of uncertainty. So like, you don't know what's going to happen next. And I think that's always one that you have in life, right? You don't know what's going to happen that next day. Then there's the next one that's just full of hope and full of love and full of everything in between, and just knowing that everything's going to be okay. And it seems to be a boat that flip-flops all the time, and different colors and different waves of emotion. And then sometimes I just have these boats where I call them the irons of opportunity, where you're just throwing or making, maybe a paper boat and hoping that, it floats down the river and it lands and an island that gives you a new opportunity. So I think I have many different boats that just constantly are floating down. And I sometimes wish I had that freedom to kind of just let go of everything and just know that everything's going to be okay.
That's such a great point, because I'll share what happened when I first did this exercise. My boat started to go down and I had anxiety and fear and words like that, kind of, you know, hurts and frustrations. And then I started to have boats that were creativity and fullness and loving. And what I noticed was all of the earlier boats were clogging my channel. And so I found this exercise really insight for me, because it said to me that I need to open my channel so that these other boats that I really value can sail also. So I really appreciated the exercise, and I think I'll continue to do it. So thanks, Mary and Melissa, for sharing that. I'd like to move on to another key message that he speaks to, which is about, you know, when we talk about letting go, it naturally says, as we get into letting go, making decisions about what we're letting go and how we're using our time and our energy. And so that leads to this process called discernment, and really, how do we think through our decisions? And so what Ruhr says is that really, this is another argument for taking time for yourself daily to have some reflection, to sit in stillness and non-judgment, and to observe your own thoughts and feelings. He makes a couple interesting points in his book, saying that particularly in Western cultures, we have to be reintroduced to our very selves, because we get so consumed with so much else in our lives. And so this process of taking even 15 minutes a day to sit in stillness and kind of feel your feelings and your thoughts and know where you are adds a lot of value. And he said the sort of real important part is how you know what is the path forward. He says a lot of times many people have done really bad things in the name of gods and religions and, you know, saying that they were righteous causes. And so it's very important for us to move through this discernment or decision-making process in a way that we're, you know, honest, and it's growth filled and positive energy producing rather than harmful. So, and there's a lot out there on actually moving through that process, but I'd like to turn again to Mary and Melissa to ask, you know, what decision or paths have you found yourselves trying to make choices about, and how do you look to finding your energy and growth to make those paths and choices positive?
It's Melissa. You know, it's funny, you know, your last one analogy was about the stream and the boats going down the stream. And when you were talking, I had this idea of you're walking down this forest and you're hiking, and then there's two paths to go, or maybe there's even three paths to go. So you have to discernment of which path leads to, you know, energy and growth and wholeness, like you were saying, kind of like, or, you know, you can pick a path of worry and uncertainty, or you can say, take the path, no, I'm going to think positive and move forward. You know what I mean? So sometimes how do you make sure you're going down the right path? And I guess, you know, my example may be, you know, when I had gotten diagnosed with prediabetes, you know, the first time hiking, I didn't make a choice. I just kept walking forward for 6 months and didn't change much of my eating habits, or because I was in total denial that, you know, that I, a thin person, has diabetes, you know, is close to having diabetes. So, and then it took me 6 months to get to where the path split. And I said to myself, I got to pick the path of energy, and I got to pick the path that's, you know, not eating certain things again, ever again, you know, or that, or too many carbohydrates, or, you know, so, and getting my exercises and, you know, no more cereal every day, things like that. So it is, you know, you have to, I think you do have to look at it as two paths and say, I'm picking this other one because I know that I can do better and I can live better and I can have more energy this way.
That's interesting. And actually, that's very, very challenging when you come, when you learn something new from like a life health change and you have to make a big decision about that. How about you, Mary? Any examples from your experience?
Yeah. So there's this path, and there's this path that I call being true to yourself. And then there's a path where you're just almost like a robot going, just reacting to everything. And the path that I've kind of chosen to take in life is the one where you show your character on every single day. You help others, you serve others, you're always there to be there and help others grow around you. And I know it's not always easy because you're always trying to head fast and furiously down the path of life. And I know that there's always a path that can always kind of be more of a reactive path where you're just reacting to every situation and you're just spending your energy just reacting instead of knowing that there is a greater purpose for you. There is that something that's there and that can almost calm you, knowing that there is something, there is that destiny, that purpose of what you were brought on this planet for. And I constantly look back at myself and say, you know, did I help somebody achieve, even if it's the tiniest thing of seeing that they have so much potential in themselves today? Did I give them a pat on the back and say, you did a good job? You made it through life. You're doing good. And I think we don't do that enough. And that's something that I just try and do when I go down this path of life, is try and find those people that are those positive people in life that can give you that pat on the back and say, good job. You are living life to your fullest. So I think that's kind of how I see that path. I'm sure there's many other ways to interpret this, but that's just a little bit about how I see it.
Well, that's really another perspective, and actually one of the reasons why Roar emphasizes how important we are to each other, because we all can learn from each other and each other's life experiences. I would share that from my perspective, every day I am, you know, pulling my plan together for a day and, you know, really planning the use of my time very deliberately. And in many ways, I feel that my life now is much more pressed for, you know, priorities than even when I was in corporate life. And so how I make decisions every day really begins with the biggest priority, which recently has been my mother's sense of well-being and her sense of wholeness in her life as it's changed. And so I look for the opportunities within the day that I can become available to her. She also has taken recently to calling, you know, sometimes every 30 minutes, which sounds really, really crazy to have to answer the phone that often. But what I've tried to do was to kind of learn from this, as you know, my mother needs me, and that this is an opportunity for exercising patience and exercising listening and exercising, you know, a way to be, you know, loving to someone who's in another phase in their life. So I think we all kind of, you know, move through all of these choices every day in all different ways, and there's no one right path. But there's a poem that I learned as a really young girl that I that's kind of carried through my life, and it's an Emily Dickinson poem. And the couple of phrases, actually one little stanza from it that I've always liked is she says, if I can ease one heart the aching or cool one pain or help one fainting robin into its nest again, I shall not live in vain. And I've always loved it because I think in this case, speaking about Rohr's book, Simplicity, that in a way, life can be that simple, that really, if we can feel that energy from just moving and touching, you know, some life and making the world better in some little way every day, that that can be energizing for us. And it doesn't have to be, more than that. So the other and final point that I'm going to address, because again, there's so much in his book that it's hard to share it all in one podcast. But another point he makes and calls us to be present. And when we talked, mindfulness is very popular now, and Eckhart Tolle in his book, Power of Now, and the many videos he has. And all of this is really talking about being present. And Rohr suggests that we take time daily to just bring awareness to the present. Because as Mary alluded to earlier, it's so easy to move through our days on automatic pilot. And at the end of the day, you're like, where did it go? And even though we have all of these time saving conveniences, we can still be left feeling like we didn't complete something and we still don't have enough time. So Rohr's solution to this is to actually say we should take time, about 15 minutes a day, for just this quiet moment to be aware and to kind of feel ourselves in the present without like being weighted by what's happened in the past or what's about to happen or may happen, and just kind of live in that moment of where we are right then, and to really see where we are. And his feeling is that it ultimately helps us to make better decisions, because we're kind of always on the cusp of the future. You know, that way, what the present moment is the moment before the future. So the decisions you make in the present moment are the most important ones. So I guess what I'd like to talk about here is really, Melissa and Mary, talk about when you're present and when being present can change the moment and give more energy. And do you have any examples of when you've had that experience?
Melissa, I try to, do this. I can't do it every day, but I do at points. I try to be in the moment and not be thinking of the present or the past. So even an example of just driving my car and feeling the tires underneath my car or the wheel in my hand and the beauty of the day. And so not only being present in the moment, but also trying to bring a joyous feeling to it or an energy to it instead of just a neutral feeling. Mm-hmm. Or if you're washing dishes or putting dishes away or whatever you're doing, instead of just being in that moment, and life does go slower that way. Your life just doesn't rush by when you're doing that. But another way I do it with people probably is, when I say goodbye to my dad in his assisted living, I hold his hand and I look him in the eye and I hold it, as long as I can, as saying, I'll see you tomorrow or whatever. So that, I'm really in the moment with him. And then, but you can also do it, I think, with people who, you have a hard time with, or you're irritated, or your boss, or your person that, is your worst enemy. You know what I mean? Is mm-hmm. to just, talk to them and look and just be in the moment without trying to react.
That's actually really interesting because you reminded me of an instance where I was on a team in business where we had a lot of challenges with personalities and how we related to groups day to day. And it was really, I'd say, probably a team of mostly the classic type A personalities. And so there was all sorts of like conflict that happened. And I found myself being challenged even with interacting with some people on the team and even the people our team did business with. And there was a coach we brought in to even help us. We were that dysfunctional. And the coach said to me to more or less be in the moment, that when I was going to be engaging with a couple of these different persons on the team and our business partners, to be in the moment and not bring the sort of baggage of past happenings into that moment, and to just focus on the business at hand in that moment. And I have to tell you that as simple as that sounds, that it made all the difference, because it made going into that, you know, business episode just so much more productive. I felt more energetic, and I even felt like it changed the quality of the interactions that that we all had, because it was just I didn't come in weighted with, you know, past baggage. How about you, Mary? Did you have any experiences of, you know, being present that perhaps made a difference in your day?
So when I drive my car, usually I just turn off the radio and just take a couple deep breaths and just try and focus on like the leaves changing color or the leaves blowing in the wind and try and just center myself, because life just rushes and we all need to take a deep breath. Even if you're having a bad day, you just need to just center yourself, because that bad feeling will pass. You'll get over it. It's the same with my kids. We're sitting at the dinner table and both of them are crying, screaming, wanting something. And I'm ready just to like stop, because I've just had a crazy day trying to get everything accomplished, that I just have to take a deep breath and almost laugh and just say, it's going to be okay. And kind of divert their focus to something funny. So I may ask a question, or I may make a goofy face, and it kind of realigns the situation. And it's kind of my reminder of saying, just enjoy that moment. Just almost, it's kind of like you're putting on an act, but by putting on an act of happiness, you make yourself happy.
That is really, really true. And it's so important to have that ability to just kind of convert maybe that moment in time into something that's more positive. I would say that in terms of a more recent example, that when I do spend time with my mother, and she has mild dementia, so she isn't always in the same reality. But a nurse had told me that people with dementia, while they may be challenging to relate to, they have their feelings and their emotions are still very real. So I work to be present with her and to hug her and to smile and look her in the eyes and to make sure she feels loved and knows she's loved, because I want her to have that sense of presence. To her is certainly valuable for her, but it's also something that I treasure and really value, and I feel it energizes me by taking that extra moment with her every day. So I guess that moves us into kind of getting further to our conclusion of the podcast. And as I said up front, Rohr acknowledges that what he talks about in his book, Simplicity, is not something that's new. It's wisdom that was acquired from the world's great religious leaders and actually is that common thread that runs through all faiths. I think because he's well-versed in world cultures and religious traditions, he actually does a great job of making that common thread visible and helping to raise our awareness that a lot of times disharmony that we experience is not so much, religious as it is, really ego and power-based misrepresentations of religious teachings. So in terms of action items, Rohr asks that we take 15 minutes daily to be present, to sit in quiet, non-judgment. You can try that little boat exercise. Then you can also identify your attachments. And as you identify your attachments, you can also work to learn to let go of some of the grip that's on those attachments. And that process of emptying actually makes you more receptive for growth and living more fully for the benefit of yourself and for the world around you. So the information that we have will be available on our website, innovatology.com. And for now, that concludes our podcast about the book Simplicity.
Well, that brings us to the end of this episode. Thanks for listening to the Innovatology Podcast. We hope we have generated some disruptive ideas and helped unleash that creative side. Please help us keep innovating and leave us a comment or a review on our website. Till next time, don't stop innovating.